Hi, and welcome to Labor Radio Podcast Weekly. I'm Chris Garlock. This new show is a collection of highlights from labor radio and podcast shows around the country, part of the Labor Radio Podcast Network of more than two dozen shows focusing on working people's issues and concerns. We have links to all the network shows at dclabor.org. Click on Union City Radio. This week, America's Workforce talks with Dr. Gil Mobley about the coronavirus.
The fact that it has a long asymptomatic period where you're just infectious as hell.
From Workers Beat, why it's important to get online.
Is your union hall shut down? Mine is. I've been telling people to get online for a long time.
Yes, you have.
Especially seniors.
Yes.
Union City Radio hears from D.C. hotel workers, firefighters, and transit workers about how they're coping with COVID-19.
So first and foremost, our number one ask right now is that if you do not have to be traveling to other places, please, please, please stay home. Do not use public transit, if at all possible.
The Heartland Labor Forum takes a look at who really benefits from property tax abatements.
One such way these economic bullies routinely take advantage of working people is through the use of massive tax incentives to pay for their latest projects.
And UCOM Live chats with J.C. Treader, the new president of the National Football League Players Association.
As I've, you know, kind of grown and become more comfortable in the league, I felt, you know, more interested in and then getting involved with the union and kind of taking that leadership role.
Here's the show. Committed to providing an accessible venue in which America's workers and their families can hear discussion on important, relevant topics, America's Workforce comes out of a production studio in working-class Cleveland, where it's broadcast daily on WERE 1490 AM and via the Internet to a nationwide audience. This week, host Ed Flash Ferenc talked to Dr. Gil Mobley, a physician and microbiologist, about the coronavirus outbreak.
Let's talk about this virus here, because there's a lot of information and misinformation out there. Some are saying, well, this is like a flu bug. I'd like to know what is the makeup of this virus? It's different. It's deadly, especially for some populations. Your opinion, sir. Go ahead.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but microbiology trained in 10 years of clinical parasitology and epidemiology in Guatemala, if I were to design a bug that was going to wipe out a large large portion of the population where it overflows the system and you have logistics downfall by the rapidity of it, I would design it like this bug. This thing, it has an infectivity that you just can't believe that it can actually go droplets. It can go, finger to mouth like Montezuma's Revenge, how many times we've brought that by, as well as by the air alone. A decomposing corpse, from what I understand in scientific documentation, a decomposing corpse can transmit this disease 200 meters away. Backed up sewer pipes at a China apartment building where there was no link to water or air, just because you needed, venting to go down for the sewage, improperly vented sewer pipes spread this through the smell of the sewage alone. That is just totally unheard of. The fact that it has a long asymptomatic period where you're just infectious as hell, that is unheard of. In this condition where it's so highly infective, you have so many false negatives. The first test you do, it's not going to be positive because your antigen's not up. It just goes on and on every day. There's another aspect to the perfect storm, Ed. It just scares the living daylights out of me.
So what do we do? How do we prevent from
Well, freeze tag. We need to stop moving around right now. The most important thing we need to do is testing. I have two employees down. They came down 2 days ago in my occupational medical center with fevers and chest coughs right off the bat. Boom. And I closed my center. We had been doing a pandemic preparedness plan prior to that, stage one, two, but three is finally closing it. And we see dozens and dozens of patients a day, and I cannot get my staff tested, Ed. The local health department first told me Wednesday we would have drive-through testing today. They told me last night that we had to order the test ourselves. LabCorp cannot tell us how much they cost because they have not got the negotiation with the government. And not only can they tell me not how much they cost, but they said, by the way, we only got this order yesterday from LabCorp, from the president. LabCorp told me they only got the order from the vice president yesterday, and that was Wednesday that they were referring to, because they told me that last night when I finally ordered the kits. So I'm going to get the kits in 3 days. All righty. That's after we have to set up an account with these companies. I had one, but we have to set up a special account. We get the kits in 3 days. It's going to take 3 days to get the results back, and they may cost $1,000 a piece. The health department cannot help us, and I have to be in full protection equipment with N95 mask, and there are none in the United States to do the test, so we cannot get tested. If we're going to get a handle of this, we need to get tested. If we can't get tested, we need to stop moving around immediately, sir.
Dr. Gil Mobley on America's Workforce, broadcast daily from 4 to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time on WERE 1490 AM and via the Internet. The Workers' Beat talk show broadcasts Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 a.m. on KNON in Dallas, Texas. Gene Lance hosts the show, which provides a platform for the outlook and opinions of workers. Here's how last week's show started off.
Good morning. It's the Workers' Beat. I'm Gene Lance. The beautiful redhead is right here.
Good morning, Bonnie Mathias. We are practicing social distancing.
Yes, we are. And so far, neither one of us is sick.
Nope.
But that doesn't mean a thing, because you can have the coronavirus for 2 weeks before you have a symptom.
Isn't that awful?
Isn't that comforting?
Yeah. You know, what are you going to do?
We like to start off with things you can do. And interesting, here's all the meetings that are coming up. None. There are no meetings. No. There are no meetings. Meetings are pretty much banned.
We are on lockdown.
Is your union hall shut down? Mine is.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
There's a sign on the door at my union hall saying no meetings. They're still in there because they're servicing the members.
Well,
but,
I think that's the case at 6215. They are servicing the members, but there are no meetings.
Yeah. So there are no physical meetings, but everybody is moving online. And here's a little editorial comment, because I've been telling people to get online for a long time.
Yes, you have.
Especially seniors.
Yes.
Well, you don't have any choice anymore.
Yeah.
You can do it, and you must do it.
It's not that hard.
You can't make up excuses anymore. You can't say, well, my grandchildren won't teach me or something. You have got to learn. You've got to get online. And
yeah,
it is not that hard to do. You can do it with your phone.
That's right.
You can do it with your iPad. You can do it with your computer.
Yeah.
I've been selling computers for less than $100 for some time because I was trying to get retirees to come on board.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been training retirees for the last couple, 3 years get online, at least get on Facebook so that you know what to do and that you're connected to the rest of the world. So there are things coming up. Tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, the Dallas AFL-CIO Digital Organizing Committee meeting has a meeting. And if you want to join us, I have to have your email. So contact me at genelance.org. And send me your email so that if you want to be on the Digital Organizing Committee. And on Thursday night, we will have the Dallas Central Labor Council for all affiliated delegates, not open to the public, but the affiliated delegates from the different unions will be having their Central Labor Council meeting on Thursday night. And
but we will be on. We're
and
not
it'll
going
be online.
To be meeting. Yeah.
And if I don't have your email address, you will not get invited, because that's the only way I know to invite you is with your email address. So even though you can get on and participate just with your phone, you will not have to have a computer to get on, because
that's right.
Because the way these webinars work is that some people get on just with telephone and other people get on with their computers.
Mm-hmm.
Some people you can see and some people you can only hear.
Right.
But nevertheless, you ain't going to be on the Central Labor Council unless I have your email.
Gene Lance on the Workers Beat Talk Show, which broadcasts Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 a.m. on KNON in Dallas, Texas. The UCOM Live with Chris LaGrange podcast originates in the New York City area and bills itself as talk news that works for the people who go to work. This week, host Chris LaGrange talked with Cleveland Browns center J.C. Treader, who was elected president of the NFL Players Association on March 10th. Treader graduated from Cornell's School of Industrial Labor Relations before going on to the NFL, where he was drafted by the Green Bay Packers in the fourth round. As Treader takes over, the new collective bargaining agreement has been approved, and he will now have 10 years of labor peace.
JC, what's up, brother? How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for joining us again. Hope you're weathering this storm. I don't know how many times we got to say these trying times, but I hope you and your staff and your family are doing okay at this time.
Absolutely right. I got you.
Yeah, thanks, brother. So listen, we released your story, and, you know, we kind of want to lead into this. Did you know going into the National Football League that eventually you would become a rep or the player or a player's rep or the president eventually, or is this something that kind of just fell into you?
I think it was something that I knew I wanted to get involved in, and I didn't know how that was going to kind of work out in the end. Obviously, you know, as a young player, you're trying to kind of make sure you stay in the league and trying to make sure you get the football aspect of football down.
Yeah.
And then as I, you know, kind of grown and become more comfortable in the league and more secure, I felt, you know, more interested in and then getting involved with the union and kind of taking that leadership role.
UCOM Live with Chris LaGrange is broadcast live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. Subscribe on Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, and iTunes to get updates on future episodes. Union City Radio is a show that I host and produce, a brief daily audio version of the Metro Washington Council's Union City electronic newsletter featuring D.C. area labor news, updates, calendar, and labor history. It airs weekday mornings on WPFW 89.3 FM, the Pacifica station in our nation's capital. Starting last weekend, we added Saturday and Sunday editions to keep listeners informed about the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on workers. This week, we did a series of interviews with local union leaders in the D.C. area.
We handle every emergency or everything in the city that any other agency says they can't handle, right? DPW shows up and they do something, they call the fire department. The police show up, they don't like, they call the fire department. You know, the gas company shows up, they call the fire department. I mean, we get cats out of trees, we go on gas leaks, we go on shootings, we go on infectious control cases, we go to fires, we go to collapses, we go to high angles. You know, I mean, if it could happen in the city, we're probably the only agency that is consistently on every type of incident, right? I mean, that's just, it's the nature of the beast.
That's Dabney Hudson, president of Firefighters Local 36, which represents nearly 1,700 D.C. firefighters and first responders. These are the folks who deal with crises every day, so I asked Dabney for advice on how to deal with the COVID-19 crisis.
So the biggest thing people can do, and I mean, I'm not even going to lie, I didn't really get the full depth of it until dealing with the cases we have internally with the firehouse. It was funny, one of my buddies that the International lives up near Meridian Hill Park. And we were texting back and forth on Friday. He's like, you wouldn't believe it. There's 200 people out here in workout clothes drinking wine in the middle of the park. You know, that's the response, right? Like, everybody's thinking it's a day off from work. They might be working from home, but, like, the social distancing thing is huge. This stuff does spread. I mean, it is no joke, right? Like, we know that it gets around communities and it gets around communities fast. The problem is people may have it. They may be a carrier. They're not symptomatic, so they think all things are fine. You know, and they're going to their friends' houses, doing whatever. Next thing you know, we got 15 people that show up positive.
For sure.
Stay vigilant on that whole social distancing thing. Be clean. I mean, I know that sounds bad, but wash your hands, cough. Like, all that stuff is real.
Dabney Hudson, president of Firefighters Local 36, with some really solid advice on how to deal with the COVID-19 crisis. Next up, social distancing in a subway car is tough and nearly impossible on a bus. We checked in with ETU Local 689's Brian Wyvell to find out what the Transit Workers Union is asking folks to do during the ongoing COVID-19 crisis.
So first and foremost, our number one ask right now is that if you do not have to be traveling to other places, please, please, please stay home. Do not use public transit, if at all possible. It is really essential that we keep public transit accessible to those that are essential employees and need to be using public transit at this time, and that if you do not need to be using public transit, if you have the means of getting someplace without, coming into contact with other people, please use that. Help us keep our members safe. Help us keep public transit functioning during this critical time. So if you have the ability and means to do so, stay home. Don't use public transit. Make sure that essential employees are able to get where they need to go.
And finally, one of the hardest hit sectors across the country is the hospitality industry. And that's especially true here in D.C., as we heard from John Boardman, Executive Secretary Treasurer of Unite Here Local 25, which represents more than 7,000 D.C. area hotel workers.
Yeah, it's very bad, Chris. We've got 97% of our members out of work. About half of our hotels are mothballing. They're closing entirely. The ones that are operating in the low single digits, around 3-5% occupancy.
That's John Boardman, Executive Secretary Treasurer of Unite Here Local 25, which represents more than 7,000 D.C. area hotel workers. I checked in with John yesterday to see how his union and its members are dealing with the COVID-19 crisis.
We are fully operational, even though our office is closed, Chris. We are in the process of contacting all of our members directly by phone. We have a very robust communications backbone in place. Almost 90% of our members are capable of receiving text messages from us. We have our website up. We're in the process this week of launching an email newsletter. So we're keeping people posted. And I would encourage those of you who listen to the show to recognize that we are all isolated now. And so anything that we can do to do what we as humans need, which is create a sense of community, all of those little things will be important. So call a friend, call a member, keep in touch, use your email. Text message somebody. We're trying to do that as much as we can with our membership so that they know what's going on and that they keep us informed and we them about what they need to do to stay safe and to be able to access some of these programs.
You can catch Union City Radio on your favorite podcast platform. It's also posted on our website at dclabor.org. The Heartland Labor Forum is Kansas City's only program about the workplace, produced by and for KC's working people. It broadcasts Thursdays at 6 p.m. on KKFI 90.1 FM. This week, they take a look at who really benefits from property tax abatements, asking the question, is TIF, short for Tax Increment Financing, socialism for corporations?
While the COVID-19 pandemic has brought many working people's lives to a halt, rest assured that the rich and powerful won't be missing a beat. While many of us are either laid off or trying to figure out how to get work done from home with a house full of kids, big money interests will continue forging ahead with their agenda. That's why we here at the Heartland Labor Forum aren't taking a break from covering the bosses, the billionaires, and the ruling elite who seldom, if ever, have your best interests in mind. One such way these economic bullies routinely take advantage of working people is through the use of massive tax incentives to pay for their latest projects. Sure, they convince our understaffed and overworked local governments, who are too often in on the deal, that their projects are for the good of all, and that they will bring much-needed economic life and new jobs to the city. These monorail salesmen have been working their voodoo for several decades now, yet our roads are in terrible shape, our schools remain underfunded, 40% of jobs pay less than $15 an hour, and large swaths of our cities continue to deteriorate to developing world status. Kansas City has been no exception, giving away massive tax breaks to some of the world's largest, most successful companies. Sure, downtown has come back from the grave, but what about the half of the city east of Troost? Where has their revitalization been? Why are developers on the plaza getting tax breaks? And what happened with that enormous tax giveaway to Cerner to build a campus, retail, and housing sub in South Kansas City? Well, the League of Women Voters of Kansas City, Jackson, Clay, and Platte counties have been wondering the same thing, so they decided to investigate the use of tax incentives in the metro. Their report, released late last year, not only documents the enormous amounts of tax dollars being given back to developers, it proposes a citizens' benefits scorecard to focus our governing body's decision-making when deciding which projects actually deserve public money. Joining me tonight is a co-chair of the League's report, Cheryl Barnes, and we'll be joined shortly by two other members, Alice Kitchen and Viola Maxwell. Ms. Barnes, welcome to the Heartland Labor Forum.
Thank you.
A key element in nearly all of these tax incentive programs is a term called blight, and the idea that the project would not have happened, quote, but for, unquote, an abatement of these taxes. So who decides that the area is blighted, and what's that supposed to even mean?
That term has really been wildly misused. I don't think any of us would think that the Intercontinental Hotel was blighted even before our tax dollars. We should all go down and take a look at it. Paid for getting it remodeled. They compared the Intercontinental to the other hotels in the area, and they said, boy, we just don't stack up. We are blighted by comparison. And that passed. It didn't pass the smell test with the citizens, but it passed the test with the TIF Commission, and it was approved. I think because of that, the TIF Commission is pulling back a little bit and is starting to look at blight in a more narrow focus. But that is one of the kind of egregious things, and it's just that we us spill millions of dollars and give those to developers instead of putting them back into the city coffers.
Right. Yeah, and I think that this is interesting. I mean, these are projects that a commission appointed by the mayor approves, and then the council has to approve their recommend. You know, the TIF commission approves it, then the council has to also approve it. So these commissions are very dependent upon who the mayor appoints.
To an extent, yes.
Okay.
But I think with the new group of TIF commissioners, I think we're going to see them taking a little bit harder line with these developers. I don't think they'll come prancing in with and asking for money as easily as they have in the past. I think that we've got a good group down there, and we just need to keep an eye on it. You
right.
also mentioned the but for. The things wouldn't be funded but for public financing. And that's one of the things that we came up with in our study. We were concerned about why developers, successful companies that are earning billions and providing a very healthy dividend back to their shareholders are coming to the Bank of Kansas City.
Right.
Instead of going to their own bank. So we think that that's important, too. So part of one of our recommendations is to take a look at their balance sheet and see if they couldn't fund these projects on their own instead of coming to us.
Exactly. I just want to quickly ask you one more question. I want to bring another couple of guests in. Just so people understand, these property taxes fund a number of different projects. So could you just – there's like schools, county government, libraries, fire protection. What are some of the agencies or services that property taxes generally fund?
Yeah, I think one of the most important ones is the mental health. We're concerned about violence in the city, and I think if we had a more robust mental health program and could really focus on getting services where they're needed, we could probably get our violence down to some manageable, mm-hmm. Normal kind of number. But when everything is so frustrating and there's no place to turn for help, which is how we kind of got into this. Like, where do you go for help? Well, you go to these places, and unfortunately, they don't have any money because we're giving it away to developers.
Right.
So that was one of the issues that came out of it. And you'll hear from Alice Kitchen, and she's got this wonderful community benefits agreement, citizens benefits agreement, that talks to where we think money should be going.
The Heartland Labor Forum broadcasts Thursdays at 6 p.m. on KKFI 90.1 FM. Hey, thanks for listening to Labor Radio Podcast Weekly. We hope you've enjoyed this collection of highlights from labor radio and podcast shows around the country, part of the Labor Radio Podcast Network of more than two dozen shows focusing on working people's issues and concerns. We've got links to all the network shows at dclabor.org. Click on Union City Radio. For Labor Radio Podcast Weekly, this is Chris Garlock, urging you to stay active and, of course, stay tuned to your local labor radio show.